today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, but something was a little off about my morning show. My favorite morning show. You know Good Morning America.
I know you love GMA. And GMA 3 particularly, you love. You're a big fan of.
Yeah, so they've had a bit of upheaval over at GMA. Usually a nice, placid experience for the viewer. There's been a lot of drama recently. And there's a change that maybe some viewers noticed. Here's what the GMA intro sounded like before the Amy and TJ saga.
As recently as last week.
Now from Times Square, Amy Robach and TJ Holmes with Dr. Jen Ashton and What You Need to Know.
So they weren't even on the show at this time, but remember, they were suspended, and it wasn't clear
it was
whether they were going to come back.
Definitely suspended, and as of like last Friday, you heard it. Their name's still in the intro.
Yeah, because look, you hear that groove, you hear that little synth beat, and it just gets you in the mood for listening to morning news with your coffee. Here's what it sounds like as of yesterday.
Now, from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
They are gone.
They've been scrubbed from existence. This is pretty common. So remember, they had their whole affair saga. It created an uncomfortable situation at work. They initially stayed on the air, then it created the sort of controversy, so they suspended them to figure it all out and conduct an investigation. The results of that investigation revealed a lot of stuff. TJ had allegedly had several sort of affairs in the office, let's call them that, and they also said that Amy had alcohol in her office, although that seemed like a stretch.
That seemed like they were reaching.
You know, I got booze in my office. I don't drink it at work, but I receive
bottles.
Well,
you don't drink at all, so.
It's true. But in any event, they met, they had a somewhat contentious mediation, and in the end, parted ways. So they will no longer be on GMA, and this is what happens when two hosts of their caliber, who are, you know, very identifiable, are removed from a show. You got to scrub them. You got to act like they were never there. And that's exactly
so
what
crazy.
ABC
but,
did.
But yeah, I mean, they're gone. They're not coming back. It's done. So their names are removed. It is interesting. So DeMarco Morgan and Rhiannon Alley are the new hosts for now, the temporary hosts. I'm sure they are furiously negotiating behind the scenes to get the full-time job. Their names are not in it yet.
Not yet.
It just says, GMA3, here's what you need to know.
That's right. Because ABC wants to, I think, figure out whether they have the same traction with viewers. And they're in a bit of a test period where they could grab this opportunity and become the host. But it's a tryout.
Do you think the two of them have met and been like, we absolutely cannot date? Like, nothing can happen between us no matter what.
Yes, let's stipulate that up front. Let's introduce each other to our spouses. Although that didn't work for Amy and TJ.
I know.
That's
the thing. But they have to have chemistry.
They do have to have chemistry. That's the interesting thing that goes on, because in our environment, our work environment, none of us have chemistry with Harvey.
No.
We are very antagonistic, so it's never a concern.
That's kind of
here.
Our whole thing is that we're sort of the opposite, where we always present that we hate each other. We secretly kind of like each other a little bit, but no.
Don't let them know that.
No,
Eric.
Sorry.
I'm just wringing your throat like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, but they have to be all professional news anchors, and sometimes even GMA3 is sort of the lighter part of the show, but there's still some heavy stories, but they've got to have that sort of chummy camaraderie.
You need the chummy banter, and it's not the first time people at work have caught feelings for one another.
Sure.
I mean, look, TJ is a very charming guy. That's why his charisma carries through on the screen. Amy the same way. And sometimes those people fall in love. We've seen this with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They were on a movie where they're actually hostile. They were like a couple that was breaking up, but there was just passion there. So what are you going to do? They fell in love. It happens sometimes. But I think this is it for their involvement. Obviously, they've been scrubbed. I don't know what TJ and Amy's next step will be. That will be interesting to me. There's been some speculation that they could stay as a tandem, and there may be some interest in them right now. I think that'll fade with time.
Probably.
And I'm not sure how they keep that going without maybe a reality show vehicle, but I'm not sure there's enough there to keep it interesting for a long period of time.
And that's the thing. I get why ABC wanted to be done with this, because of the whole, like, well, did they cheat? They said they didn't, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But really, there's not anything that controversial about their relationship.
No.
And not enough to, I think, get the public like, oh, we got to see what they do next. Yeah, they're a couple.
Yeah.
And
what's kind of quieted it down is Andrew Hsu, who was Amy's husband at the time, has been quite respectful is the wrong word, but he's been classy about the whole affair. He's not getting in the mud. He's not trashing her in the media. He clearly wants to turn the page. It's probably been an embarrassing and sad episode.
Shared custody of their dog.
But it's not messy. Yeah, exactly. It's not as messy as an affair could be.
Yeah, well, that was
because
no
one's in the muck with
them. Like you said, like the Brad and Angelina thing, it was like, you know, Jen Aniston was America's sweetheart.
Yes.
So people sort of took sides. They still have sides. They're still like, you're either Jen or Angie in that. But
all these years later, there's still high emotions about it in our room when you bring up Jennifer Aniston.
People still want them to get back together.
Yeah.
But Amy and TJ, live your life.
I agree. I agree. So I think this is the end of the saga and hopefully the last time we have to discuss it because I'm ready to move on. And let's go to our next story, which is a bit darker and a bit, an interesting story. So R. Kelly, facing an onslaught of lawsuits and prosecutions from a lot of sources.
Already in prison.
And already serving a 30-year prison sentence. R. Kelly's in his late 50s.
He's 56.
Yes. So he's on the back half of his 50s. A 30-year sentence means he won't emerge from prison until his 80s.
I don't know if you know all the details of the 30-year sentence. Does he have a chance at parole in that?
Yeah. So what I've read is that he could emerge as early as 80, which would be sort of a few years under the 30 years.
Still,
but
so he can't get out until he's at least 80 years old.
That's right. His career is effectively over.
Oh, yeah.
He will spend the remainder of his life barring a successful appeal. Now, remember, he's got some appeals pending where he's challenging these prosecutions, says, you know, he was wrongfully convicted and so forth. You see that quite commonly.
Right.
I don't think R. Kelly stands much of a chance because of the volume of convictions he has. It's maybe you can overturn one or two if you're convicted of just murder or something like that. You can overturn that conviction. He has a raft of charges.
Yeah, he's hanging out.
So overturning all of them is a long
shot. Some good news for him, though.
Yeah, so a Chicago prosecutor, and this is an interesting case. So Kim Fox, who's the Cook County state attorney, and she's been an active voice. You remember her from Jussie Smollett. She's been a name that you've heard because a lot goes on in Chicago.
A lot happens. Anyway. It's a big city.
Yeah, so this is a good point, though. This is a big city with a lot of trials that they have to conduct, and they only have a limited amount of resources. So she decided that she's going to drop the sex abuse charges that she initially brought against R. Kelly. This was for allegedly sexually abusing four individuals, three of whom were minors, with the types of allegations that you heard in all the R. Kelly cases. She's going to drop them, and she gave a press conference where she said, look, I know this may be disappointing to the victims of these alleged crimes. However, he's already serving sentences. He's been convicted in New York in a federal court there. That's the 30-year sentence. He's been convicted in Chicago and is facing sentencing there in February, where he's going to get another 10 to 90 years. So you already have some redundancy.
He won't be out of prison. Like, he'll be in his 80s or 90s if he ever gets out. So I get, like, it seems sort of pointless in a way. Like, okay.
It's sort of spiking the football. Yeah, it's
done. If you are one of those four people whose charges are being dropped, is that justice to you? That you know the fact that your abuser is off the streets, serving his sentence.
Right.
He's done.
But he hasn't been held accountable for what he did to you.
That's right. The things that he did to them, the crimes that they are alleging against him, I guess we have to say.
Yeah.
They get no justice for them personally. It's sort of like you see like with Jeffrey Dahmer and people like that, where somebody who's a serial killer or a mass murderer, if they go to prison for life for four of the murders and say they killed 10 people. If you're a relative of one of the other people, I mean, yeah, that person is going away, but you don't get, it's not in the books that your family member, the person you care about, got justice.
Yeah, look, it's not as satisfying is what you're coming down to. I mean, Kim Fox stood up there and said, we believe justice has been served, and prosecutors are trying to do a couple things. One is retribution, and that's what you're talking about, where the victims actually get their say in court. They get to go in and say, this was the impact that he had on me. I want to be able to express that. I want to publicly shame him, as well as him getting punished. They also have the role of deterring people, specifically and generally. They want generally people not to commit crimes like R. Kelly, so that's why you punish people, and specifically they want to keep him from committing more crimes.
Right.
They say both of those goals have been served. He is in prison, and a big message has been sent to other sexual abusers not to do so. So from her perspective, even though we didn't get the direct retribution, we've done a lot here, and, right. And he is serving time. So she's saying, I only have limited resources. I have to devote them to other causes that would otherwise go completely unaddressed. R. Kelly's been addressed right. in some sense, but you're exactly right. This is unsatisfying. For the victims right. in this particular case, or the alleged victims in this particular case, they're not going to be happy about this. We spoke with R. Kelly's lawyer, and even he doesn't have much of a sense of relief. I mean, he's fighting for his life. He's got all of these right. appeals. He's already facing the decades in prison. He's serving his time, but says, look, the right decision has been made here. I hated this comment where she said the right decision has been made here, as if it is all the prosecutions are trumped up and here's right. at least one doing the right thing.
But she's R. Kelly's attorney.
Yeah.
She can't be like, oh, yeah, whoo, this guy, what a monster. Like, she right. can't say that.
Of she's his counsel.
Right.
Yeah, look, not much is changing here. R. Kelly's going to remain in prison. But to your point, these people are not going to feel satisfied by this outcome. I think from my perspective, this is the right call by Kim Fox. I think as long as you have multiple convictions such that if he's successful in one appeal, he still has sentences behind that and stays right. locked up, I think it's okay. If all of them get reversed and then we look back on this and R. Kelly's out in the streets, I would be concerned.
That's different.
That would be different. And they could bring cases again. Right. I mean, just because she's dismissing these charges, it's probably without prejudice. And maybe there's a tolling agreement to keep the statute of limitations locked in case that eventuality comes. But I think R. Kelly's done.
Oh, he's definitely done. Yeah. I get your point. Like, yeah, to keep prosecuting basically for something he's already in prison for and not getting out anytime soon. I don't want to say beating a dead horse, but, you know, you're like, the money and the time and the resources to go through all these trials, that's the thing. It is justice for those victims. But within the justice system,
yes,
it's just reiterating a point that's already been made multiple times.
Yeah, R. Kelly, the 90 years he faces in Illinois,
wow.
I also appreciate that it's not the only case in Illinois. I think he's so associated with Chicago that it's important that some court in Chicago levies justice against him. The other case that he's serving the 30-year sentence is in New York, but I think he's singularly associated sort of with Chicago, right? So you
yeah.
want that jurisdiction to actually inflict some punishment. But to Kim Fox's point, she's saying, look, there's a federal court here, and they're going to give him 10 to 90 years. I think he'll probably get the higher end of that is my guess,
right.
because a lot of his crimes were committed there. And, you know, so everything seems satisfied here. I think prosecutors have a tough role. They really have to balance a lot of things, and they would like nothing more than to build their reputation by dragging R. Kelly into court. Believe
right.
me, Kim Fox, prosecutors love this. They live for these court moments, but she's also got a docket full of other cases she needs to address. So,
and things that aren't high profile.
And things that aren't as high profile. And that's
other victims who don't get the coverage. And, you know, because any of these, again, like, it's not like book justice, like in the records that like for these four victims. But if any of them want to tell their story or have their say, certainly there are plenty of outlets that will give them the platform
Absolutely.
To do that.
Absolutely. One parallel I noticed with this is Harvey Weinstein, also mm-hmm. facing multiple trials. He was convicted in New York, then he was dragged all the way out to L.A. That case hasn't been dropped. I think that is still pending, and it's important because he was an L.A. Hollywood producer. Even though he's convicted in New York and many of the crimes were committed there, there's an importance that L.A. is putting on Harvey Weinstein because he's so emblematic of producer culture and what L.A. looks like that you want to punish him here. It doesn't feel satisfying to just have him, you know, commit a few crimes
in
New York.
But that's saying, like, L.A. needs its justice. It's the same way saying these four victims of R. Kelly need their justice.
Yeah.
And that's on L.A. for letting him get away with it. The same way I think probably a lot of why they want to go after R. Kelly so much now is because I think the legal system as a whole is embarrassed by how long he got away with it.
Yes.
I mean, we knew he married Aaliyah almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
We knew that when it happened,
yeah.
or shortly after. The P tape came out in, what, like 2002?
And he was acquitted of that.
Yeah. Ignition came after that. And that's yeah. I think that's a thing where I think people get so kind of in their feelings about R. Kelly is, as a society, it's on all of us.
Yes.
Anybody that was around then, anybody that was bumping, you know, Fiesta or Ignition or Trapped in the Closet, we all knew.
We all, yeah, that was the strange
we
thing
can
about
try and
R.
Be like,
Kelly.
Well, he got off. We knew.
It was happening in real time, and society wasn't ready to confront it in the serious way that it needed to be confronted. I mean,
And we liked the music.
We loved the music.
He kept having hits. Like as a society, we enabled him for a long time. That's why I think he felt so invincible, because I mean, there's video of him urinating on an underage girl, and we all said, it's okay.
Dave Chappelle joked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and we as a society—
Macklemore was joking about it in Thrift Shop in 2013.
Yeah.
I mean, Lady Gaga was doing duets with him in the 2010s. I mean—
Yeah. We're sort of horrific.
We're not
society,
we're not
because I confess that when I saw the Dave Chappelle skit,
you
and trapped in the closet, you would see all these things, and you sort of had an inkling that this is a weird dude. This is a very
we always
strange
knew he
dude.
Was a weird dude, but there are lots of weird dudes in pop music and R&B music, and
that's
not
right.
all of them are criminal.
Right? Wasn't the thought at the time that he's strange and eccentric in the way that rock stars can lead a very strange eccentric life? It didn't feel criminal in the same way when you observed it. Now.
Well,
it
also, because look at all the other people we forgave. Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin. Chuck Berry was trafficking underage girls across state lines. That's what he went to prison for. Like, we give a lot of people a lot of passes for that. And I think finally, as a society, it kind of hit the, you know what, no more.
Yeah. Same with Harvey Weinstein. Social mores is just catch up. There's a casting couch. We threw that term around as if it were acceptable. I mean, totally unacceptable even at the time, but it was sort of acknowledged and not addressed. And now everything is you know, there's a reckoning.
Yeah.
And R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein are going to spend their time behind bars.
Remember what R. Kelly's nickname was that he gave himself? He was the Pied Piper of R&B. He used to say it in his songs.
Right.
What did the Pied Piper do? He lured children with music. He just told us. This is funny. Going back, his very first song in 1992 was a song called "She's Got That Vibe." Mm-hmm. There's a part in the song. I remember when that song came out, and I liked it at the time. Had no idea who R. Kelly was.
Sure.
And there's a part in the middle where he's like naming other women who've got that vibe, and he goes, "Little Aaliyah's got it." This was 2 years before her first album came out, so she would have been 12 or 13.
Yeah.
I had no idea who she was. It's just a name in a song, and I didn't listen to the song after she got famous and forgot about it. And then you hear it, and it's like. From literally the very first single, he's shouting out a 12-year-old girl that's got that vibe.
Well, I didn't even know about that song, so it feels like you're more complicit than me.
But we'll wrap it
up. We'll wrap it up right there. R. Kelly not going anywhere, and TJ and Amy
not coming back,
scrubbed from existence. So neither of them having a great day.